Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the times that I am hard towards you. It's going to be a bit different today, as you can tell. I just feel, first of all, that the Lord wants me to prophesy over us as a fellowship, as a church. And I think it will be an encouragement to you, Andy. My mom came here to visit us. After 5 years, I hadn't seen her, and she sat there, and I did a bit of translation for her. And when we went home, I said, "How did you find it?" She said, "I really felt the presence of God in that place." And my mom is someone who has won hundreds of people for the Lord. She's a very sensitive lady. She hears God. I have seen, you know, more miracles in my mom's life than I have seen in anyone else, as someone that I know personally. And for her to say that, "I really felt the presence of God," and that wasn't the first person that said that to me. Someone else that came to visit said, "I felt so at home in that place. I felt the Lord saying that as people have moved on," you know, I happen to be here because I work as a chaplain. Very often on Sundays I'm working. But I happen to be here the days that people are leaving. And in my spirit, I felt the Lord saying, as people move on, it's a prophetic sign for this fellowship because it's time for you to move into a new area. Last Sunday, I was doing a service at the hospital, and these words were read in thousands of churches around the world, and I felt the Lord bringing them back to me this morning. Just listen. "My beloved speaks and says to you, 'Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth and ripens her green figs, and the vines are in blossom and give forth their fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.'" And I feel, Andy, the Lord saying that when you woke and you don't feel heavy, the time has come for you to see the things that God has promised you. I feel for you and Susan that the word is, "My burden is light, my yoke is light." He is the one who carries the burdens for you. And the time for you not to carry them has arrived. And I have seen, Andy, how you and Susan have chosen by your will to give those burdens to Jesus. And the more choice you make of doing that, the more you'll be able to work and move in this place. And I want to say to you, as we are part of this congregation, that welcome the Lord. Welcome change. That day when Clive came and changed all the chairs, and that was the day that my mom was here, that was such a strong atmosphere of the presence of the Lord, I felt personally, because chairs had been moved, and we accepted that. Just accept what the Lord wants, and you will see Him moving in your household. Take care of the Lord's house as He wants it, and you see Him taking care of yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that was the prophesying bit that I felt the Lord wanted me to do. And you've got to take it home, and you've got to ponder before the Lord. I don't think this preach will be long, because I said to the Lord, Lord, I have nothing to give to these people. If you have got something, you've got to speak. So if it goes a bit long, it's because the Lord is speaking. I'll tell you. So would you open your Bibles with me, or your phones with me, in Mark 12, please, and keep your finger there. Mark chapter 12. And before I read the message that I felt the Lord wanted me to read for us, I just want you to close your eyes once again. And I want to read some other words Jesus said in Mark 4. But I don't want you to read it with me. I just want you to listen carefully. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given. And you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Very strong words from the Lord, aren't they? That afterwards, if you want to have a look, comes from Mark 4, 24 and 25. Different version says slightly different things, but I really like this translation. Can I just say to you that if you are a Christian here, and you know the Lord, you should be disturbed. Jesus was never someone who left us undisturbed. Never. And he says some pretty disturbing things throughout the gospel. Never to put guilt and condemnation. Never to put people down, because he wasn't that sort. But he challenged us because he wanted us to go towards the purpose that he has for us. You know, I'll be honest with you. If it wasn't for Andy insisting and Cliving telling me that this was from God, I wouldn't be standing here today. A while ago, I decided I wasn't interested in preaching anymore. Why? Because I was hurt. I was hurt by church, and I thought, and you know what? Let me tell you this. I really believe God has used me a lot as a prophetic sign to the church. And this is the church. The church very often is hurt. So the church says, I don't want this anymore. And then we curl up on the corner and we don't really do what God tells us to do. One day I was here worshiping. Susan doesn't know that, but the Lord was speaking very clearly to me about his church. And she came and said, Sandro, the Lord says that although you have been hurt by the church, he still loves the church. Little did she know that that's exactly the words that the Lord was telling me. So I'm a prophetic sign to you that if you want, you can stay hurt. And you don't need to fulfill the will of God for you. The only thing is there will be a time where you'll be accountable before Jesus, and there will be no one else there but you. And you know, to be honest with you, I didn't want to stand here. I struggled. Bless Andy, he even wrote to me on Tuesday saying, Sandro, are you still preaching or something like that? And I said, yes, Andy, I said I would. And I am here because I'm obeying God, not because Andy asked me or because Clive kept pestering me, but because Jesus said to me, do it, and he used people to encourage me. So I'm here to encourage you that the time has come, I believe, for you to enter your promised land. The Jordan River will part if you step into that water. So, the word of the Lord for us, I believe, today is the most important word, because he said so, and that comes from Mark 12, starting at verse 28. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important? Which is the first?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is the one and only God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first and most important commandment. There are certain versions that says you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That encompasses every bit of the person, but it also encompasses every type of person. Here, in this small gathering, we have people who are very much mind people. They are very logical, and that's the way they work. So God is saying, love me with all your mind. And there are other people who are more so people, they are emotional, they go more with their gut feeling, with their instincts, and God's saying, love me with all that you have in you. And then there are other people, other types of people, but he encompasses everything. You know, very tactile people. If I can touch, if I can see, I can work with that. God's saying, love me with all that you have. It encompasses the whole person. It's a challenge. And you know, God have made us the way we are because he likes us the way we are. God likes you the way you are. But he will knock you about to make you what you need to be to truly fulfill every bit that he has for you. So, the question that comes to us is, to love you, God, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, is that possible? Is that possible? Because that's something that, you know, as I said to you, I've got to be very honest with you. I struggle with. Because this is the most important commandment. It's the first. If we don't get this right, we might as well forget it. And I heard the other day someone saying that if we get the second command first, it goes wrong and we get hurt. When we start loving people before we love God, we end up going the wrong direction. When we start honoring people more than we honor God, it goes in the wrong direction and we will be hurt. But when we put the first commandment first, the second commandment will come and will make a difference. You know, by me standing here and doing what I'm doing because I believe that's what God wants me to do, I'm obeying God, and therefore I believe more and more of his will be accomplished in my life. As you listen, do you remember what I read for you right at the beginning? Listen carefully to what the Lord is saying. As you listen carefully to what the Lord is saying to you, and you start walking the path that he has chosen for you by your will, is not a feeling, is your will. You've got to make that decision. I am prophetic. I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to speak to anyone. I didn't want to be bothered. This is one weekend that I have in the month. I worked last weekend. I'm working the next weekend. I'm speaking in the service. And that's my job. I have got to do it. I don't have a choice. I had a choice here. But my choice was, yes, I will do your will, Lord. Because I'm important? No. You don't know your Bible then. God says he chooses those that are nothing. So I am nothing. But in my nothingness, I choose to obey God. So this is about the will. It's not about the emotions. Because when we have been brainwashed by the media, haven't we? Really. We have been brainwashed that love is a feeling. But the Bible questions that. Well, it challenges that. It breaks that definition of love. Love is the will. Now, I would like you to keep your finger there in that passage with me, but go to Genesis 1, please. In Genesis 1, God says, in verse 26, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us, or in the likeness of us. And then verse 27 says, so God created human beings, or mankind, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created us in his image. That means that everything he is, we are like. In our spirit, in our soul, in our body, in our emotions, in our will. He chose to love us 100%, unconditionally. He died on the cross and he said, come to me. Come to me and I accept you. Just come to me and we walk this path together. So he tattooed in us. He imprinted in us. He molded in us the will to love him because we are created in his image and he loves us. So it's within us. Whether someone knows the Lord and loves the Lord and follows him or not, they will always have that emptiness within them because they are made to love God. That's what we are made to do, to love God. And if we don't love God, there is something always missing in us. We are called to love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our minds, and with all our strength. And he gives us that natural instinct to do that. What happens is that it's buried under the love for people first, the love for things, the love for self. It's buried under there. And then Jesus challenges again. Let us go to Luke 14, please. Luke chapter 14, verse 27. Says, a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, now, you know, just think, a large crowd. A large crowd is basically thousands of people. If you remember, he fed 4,000 the first time and didn't count the women and children. And then 5,000 the second time, and didn't count women and children. We are talking about large crowds. You know, the crowds were so big and so fierce because they wanted to touch him that he had to go into the boat and push a little way. You know, I was in Capernaum a few years ago, and that was so wonderful to see, to actually sit down there and look how the coast is still the same as it was 2,000 years ago. And the way it's shaped is perfect because it's shaped in such a way that when people are sitting and Jesus is there on the boat, when he speaks, it's like a little auditorium that amplifies, that God created that from the beginning. And you know, there were huge crowds and you think he would do what any preacher would do today. He would encourage them and he would, you know, get them stirred up. God is good. God will do good things for you, which is true. But no, you know what Jesus does? He challenges everyone. And he makes it really difficult to follow him. He says, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Cool. If that doesn't challenge you, you are asleep. Because it's so challenging to me. And I will confess something to you. Very often I have had chats to the Lord and said, Lord, I know I'm not your disciple because I'm not following you the way that you'd like me to. But let me tell you this. I also felt, this is very important, the Lord saying this, even if you love me a little bit, just a little bit, it's all right with me. You're welcome. If that's all you can love me, that's all right. You still love me. Because there were times in my life where I felt, I love you so little, Lord. I mean, at least that's one thing that I can be with the Lord, honest. I can't play church. And he said, Sandro, it's all right. Even if you love me very, very little, I accept that. And then your heart so stirred, I said, Lord, but I want to love you more. Will you help me? Will you help me? Because you're worthy. You know, if there is one thing that I have read and studied and looked and listened to more than anything is people that goes to heaven and come back. Because that helps me a lot. And there is one thing that stirs me more than any other that again and again people say. People say, when I saw Jesus, I felt, oh, I should have loved him more. I should have trusted him more. I should have given all of myself to him, but I didn't. Other things were more important to me than him. I heard that again and again and again. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to come to you one day and regret. I don't regret. Do you? And I believe this is a message for me, first of all, and for you. For us as a church. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I don't see us as a church separate from the whole body of Christ. I have got a very different way of looking at it. I believe that we are part of the body of Christ. And we are being challenged now. I mean, like Dave and John shared, there are thousands of young people who are on fire for God. They are going forward. Either we join them or we are left behind. And I believe this is a challenge from the Lord. A difficult challenge, but a challenge that he can help us step by step. It's not a discouraging message, but it's not a kind of uplifting message until you get there. But when you get there, you're uplifted above all other things that you could ever got. And it is a challenge. It's a challenge to me, first of all. But it's a challenge to you as well. And that means that, in practical terms, would mean challenges for Andy and Susan. Challenge for every one of us as well. Because God will ask us. I mean, and if you really want God to you to see what God promised you, will take guts. And you will not be able to please these people more than you please the Lord. You're not going to be able to please your wife more than you please the Lord. And vice versa. You have got to do what the Lord tells you to do, Susan. And that goes for every one of us here. Is it tough? Yes, it is tough. But is it worth it? Just so worth it. Otherwise, you're just fake. Fake Christians. Cool, what a way to have my first preach, isn't it? But you know what? I felt that's what the Lord wanted me to say, that he's giving us an invitation. Imagine someone passionately coming to you and say, marry me. I want to live my life with you. It's not going to be easy. But I will walk along you. I'll protect you. I will love you with all that I am.
Just come with me. And that's what Jesus is saying to us today. Come with me. Come on this journey. I would like just to pray. The Lord has reminded me a couple of times now, three times, another word that I have for someone here. The word is that you have struggled with mental health for a while. You have felt desperate sometimes. You don't know where to go sometimes. It's so dark. But the Lord is saying to you, take my hand. And he wants you to know that in heaven there will be no mental health problems. In heaven, you have a clear mind. You not struggle with those evil thoughts. And he's saying, I understand. I am with you. I do not condemn you. I walk alongside you. At the times when you feel very lonely, no, that's not true, because I never leave you nor forsake you. I promised that I will never fail you. Hebrews 13. There is someone else here that I feel that you really struggle with fear. Even I spoke, you were gripped with fear. And the Lord is saying to you, come to me. Come away with me, for I will deliver you from fear. The opposite of fear is love. I will peel those layers of fear from your life as I peel an onion, and I will cook the best meal for you. For thus says the Lord to you who struggles with fear, he prepares a table before you. He prepares a banquet before you in the presence of your enemies. There is someone else here that has got a lot of lack of confidence. You are so distraught by lack of confidence that you don't even like coming to any meetings here. And the Lord is saying, I am your confidence. All those things that bury you under lack of confidence is because of looking at yourself. The Lord says, start looking at me. Start looking at me. And walk with me. Holy Spirit, you know, like I said at the beginning, without you, we can't do anything. We are just speaking words. But with you, Lord, you come and you transform things. Lord, when you come, you can change a life. There are lives here, Lord. And that's partly why I am standing here, because I felt you saying, Sandro, you are so selfish. You're just thinking of yourself. You are saying, I don't want to be bothered. And you said to me, there are people there that need to hear my word, and I will touch them through the message that you speak. They are important to me. They are special to me. It's not about you, it's about them. And I feel the Lord saying the same. It's not just about you. It's about people that are around you that needs to be touched by him. So give yourself to him. And Holy Spirit will welcome you, that you will help us to give ourselves to you. But it begins with our will. So, Lord, I want to ask in the name of Jesus that everyone here who has the will to start this journey with you, and it's a journey, that they will stand up now. But don't stand up just for the sake of it, but stand up one by one. Only those who feel, I want to start this journey with you, Lord. I want to be changed by you, Lord. I want to go all the way with you, Lord. And I am willing to give up those things that actually are suffocating me. They are starting to destroy my life. They are burying me under the heavy burden and every heavy loads. I don't want it anymore. I want freedom. I want freedom. I want freedom. You know, for those of you, just lift up your hands. Just feel at home with the Lord. For those of you who received that word that I gave, I don't know who it is, but I will tell you this. Jesus is willing to set us free. You know, I had to take a step. I am a prophetic sign for you. I am an example. I am a sign saying, take the first step. I didn't prepare anything but prayer and that word. That love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That was really, basically, all that I had. But I said, Lord, if it's really of you, then you speak. You come through. Because if it's of me, I don't want it anyway. So say that to the Lord. I want what's of you, Lord. Start this journey with me, Jesus. I am willing to follow you, Lord. I want to love you above everyone and everything else. Would the worship team come back, please? You know, just be very much on the sense of worship as you worship, because the Lord is ministering to you as well. But just with your eyes closed, let us just hear from Him. That last song that you played, please, that the overwhelming love of God. Just carry on that place. And as we sing that, I would like you to receive the love of Christ Jesus. The love of God the Father, the love of the Holy Spirit. Receive it, because without us receiving that love, we cannot give. It begins with God, because it says, He first loved us with an overwhelming kind of love. So just come to Jesus now. Just come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. Just before you start, carry on playing this, but before we start, I just want to encourage you. The Lord is not against you. The Lord is for you. The Lord knows the burdens that you carry that you think are good, and He says it's not good. Drop them, drop them, drop them. This church is going to do Isaiah 61. Heal the brokenhearted. Yes, you will. Before you can heal the brokenhearted, let the Lord start healing your broken heart. Before you can lift the weary, let Him lift you. Before you can set the captives free, let Him set you free. Otherwise, you are playing, just playing with the Lord. Let Him do it. Because you are called individually to see Isaiah 61 in your life. So let us receive the love of the reason, the living Lord Jesus, who is here. Let Him minister to you. You know, you don't even need to sing. You don't even need to open your eyes as the worship goes on, if you don't need to. Just engage with the Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired. And our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.